in rehearsal for Beauty and the Beast, like when we were doing like the kick line for Be Our Guest, and I was like,
they were up
that,
there.
Like,
that was it.
That guy is so beefy, but his leg flies up to his face. This is the most confusing thing I've ever seen.
Because I was the biggest I've ever been in my life. All I was doing was eating creatine, protein, and working out.
But when I was starting going through that, I would pray like for God's will to be done in the situation. I was afraid to be like, please save my brother, because I didn't want to be disappointed with that prayer not being answered. And so I actually don't think I ever even prayed for that, because I was too scared to be let down.
Sitting around, round, 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 round. So I stick around. It's been stuck in my head all day long.
It's catchy.
It is so catchy. And it just goes to show how crazy her range is.
I know.
It's insane.
I know.
Like, that's low for a girl.
I can't even reach. I can't even reach the.
When you go.
Yes.
It's almost low for me.
Down, 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 down. Like, I can't even. I can't even.
The bottom of your range.
Yeah, that's not even. I wouldn't even count that as being in my range. That was not singing. That was just noise.
Yeah, and then she goes ahead and does Love on Top after that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. That's why she's Beyonce.
How you doing, babe?
I'm good.
Oh, you a little tired?
I'm tired.
Yeah.
But good.
I know. We just learned some dances for TikTok, and I think it weirded you out.
It's like my second workout of the day. Like, I already worked out aggressively this morning. Now I sort of had to sweat again for an hour.
do you look back at, like, when we did tour as, like, how did I do that? Would you be able to do that now?
I'd have to get myself into proper shape.
Yeah.
That, it depends on what you're doing. Obviously, what we were doing was like very cardiovascularly difficult at times.
Yeah.
Like
Be Our Guest was a marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That like by the end of doing that 325 times, I was still out of breath at the end of that.
Mm-hmm. If we did that now, if we went on tour now, we would just have a very different regiment. I would need to stretch a lot.
The warming up would be extensive.
I would have to do a different kind of workout.
Absolutely.
Mobility, a lot of mobility.
100%. I'm also just more bougie now. I'm also older.
Yeah.
So it's like the idea of being on a bus for 8 hours and then like doing a show, that would not be possible for this 35-year-old body. No.
We would just buy a plane ticket.
Yeah.
There's no way we would bus anymore. No way. If we were ever to do a tour, it would have to be a limited engagement and it would have to be a lot of flying, not much busing.
Literally only flying.
Yeah.
Unless it was like around the corner, obviously.
Or unless like they took just us two in a Rolls Royce.
That works as well.
Like a limousine.
Seems like it'd be cheaper to fly.
Did you think that Be Our Guest was harder than Gaston?
Yeah, for sure.
It definitely was, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Gaston was a little bit more like technical and stuff, but I think Be Our Guest was just so much.
There were costume changes.
Yeah, that's right.
In it.
How many did you have?
It wasn't too crazy. It was just getting that.
I think I had three.
Skirt on.
Yeah. I had a knife. I was a knife.
Knife head.
Knife head. just a huge knife on head.
On head.
Knife on head.
Knife on head, but just don't call me a knife head.
Just huge knife. I got a knife on my head, but don't call me a knife head.
I'm like trying to even remember what the costume changes were, and I honestly can't. Besides putting on the skirt. To go from being a plate to being a napkin.
Do you remember the choreography? Do you think you'd be able to do the choreography?
No chance.
I don't think I could either, but... Yeah, very few bits.
Yeah, my body like doesn't retain muscle memory that way. So I guarantee there are some people that would be able to do it.
I think Gaston, there's certain like...
Yep.
The clinks.
There are aspects of Gaston I could probably... They'd probably come back to me.
Yeah.
What a time. Different life.
Very different life. But I'm glad it happened because that's too. How I met you. Mm-hmm.
Our life
for those
would,
of you don't
both
know,
of our lives would be very different if we didn't do that.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about. Because mm-hmm. you almost didn't do it. I almost didn't do it. I turned it down the first time because they offered me ensemble. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah. And then they came back and they said, oh, no, you were supposed to be offered the understudy of Beast and Gaston,
yeah,
as well as ensemble. I said, okay, I'll take that. And then you almost didn't do it. Did you say no at all?
No.
Or you just...
I didn't say no. I just like heavily considered whether I wanted to do it or not.
Commit to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long time to commit to something.
Yeah. Especially when you had like a life and a husband
literally
at the
married,
time. And...
Right. It makes the decision much more difficult. But I'm sure glad I did it.
Yeah. Me too. Me too. What a wild time, huh?
Very wild. I don't know how things would have transpired if I hadn't have gone on that tour.
It's crazy to think about different moments in life that if you didn't do that, or if you didn't take that trip
moments.
Or didn't take that job or didn't whatever, there's such a thin thread for different things.
Yeah.
For it's the butterfly effect.
I think for most things of significance, it's a very thin thread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like meeting your wife, meeting your husband.
Yeah.
Maybe a career.
Yeah. Like having
meeting
a door.
Somebody that had a door. Like,
right.
That opened a door to you.
100%.
To become Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Or become, you know, like those
bigger
things.
Bigger opportunities. Someone who like saw potential in you and was willing to bet on you and open a door for you. I feel like that's so often that happens from someone who we didn't know before.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's always inspiring and also sometimes frustrating to hear. Like, people's stories, success stories, and how they met somebody, they just met the right person at the right time.
Yeah.
That opened the door. And then from that point on, they were, you know, they were very wealthy and very famous.
But they had to have some kind of talent and then some kind of work ethic in order to maintain those things. Mm-hmm. So
but there's a lot of talented people and a lot of people that have a good work ethic.
That's true. And they
it's just
don't
like
never make
the difference
right
is not knowing the right people.
Sure.
That's like 70% of it, 80% of it. And that's tough to know that and just be like, man, I have all this talent. Yeah. I have all this. I have the work ethic. I have the talent. If I just had my break, if I just had somebody that believed in me, that saw what I see in myself and took a chance on me, I'd prove them right. And I would really do this.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are in that place. And you just got to keep going.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know when your time is. Mm-hmm. Everybody's timing is different. I think I heard that Steve Carell got The Office when he was 40 or something like that. And that was like his first big thing.
Yeah.
I think maybe he had smaller things here and there.
Yeah.
But that was like that was the first big thing. I think John Hamm said that he was going to quit acting if at age 30, if he didn't book anything of significance. And then he booked, what's the show?
Mad Men?
Yeah. At, I think 29.
Oh, really? He's 29 in that show?
I think so.
That's crazy.
I know. Cause he looks like he's 40.
Yeah. I'm like,
in
John
a good
Hamm,
way.
Right. I'm like,
not
and John Hamm
way.
looks, I feel like he looks like he hasn't aged now.
No. He looks the same. John.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's Justin Bieber who gets, discovered on YouTube when he's like, fresh out the womb.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's all different times, all different, you know, you just don't know when your time is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just got to keep going and you got to trust and you got to believe that it's going to happen.
Yeah. Keep putting yourself out there.
You just don't know when that time is going to come.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
We would all love the story that like, oh man, like you think of like somebody like Tom Holland, you know, he booked Spider-Man as a kid.
Yeah.
And he's just like, look, so likable.
Yeah, he is.
He's so likable. He's so charming. He's so like, he's very talented. So it's like, it's not like it's not deserved,
but he
it's
was
very
like,
well deserved.
Wasn't he Billy Elliot?
I know. Yeah.
Before that.
Yep.
He's like exceedingly talented.
Yeah. He's ridiculously talented. I think a lot of people see that as just like, oh, God really like took his time on that person. He's like good looking, very talented.
Sure.
Just like had a pretty, like good looking people have a easier time in the world.
Sure.
To the outside eye, you look, it's just like, you don't have to go through as many hoops. You don't have to maybe have as hard of a work ethic or different things. I think you still do to really make it and to sustain success.
100%.
I think that's the biggest thing, sustained success.
Right.
But it certainly doesn't hurt when you are nice on the eyes.
Right. Of course. Well, especially in like movies and show business and that kind of thing.
Yeah. If that, yeah, exactly. In show business and I mean, modeling or anything like that.
Right.
And so it can be difficult for people to be like, well, hearty har har, that's so nice for them.
Right. But then you just have to appreciate the things about your own journey. I was actually thinking about this last night. I was falling asleep.
That's a shocker.
About how, what do you mean? Excuse me?
Was it like during a movie?
No, it was when we went to, when we got in bed and we're going to sleep. Oh,
when we were actually going to bed.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I thought, well.
Excuse me.
You're no, hey, when we hit that couch, it is lights out.
Yeah, pretty much. But
remember when we watched Dune? We watched Dune the other night. And how much of that did you see?
Like barely any.
I don't think you even made it 5 minutes.
Did
you make it five minutes?
Yes, I probably watched like 15 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Pretty good.
Very much. 15 minutes.
15 out of 2.5 hours.
But then you also fell asleep.
I did. It was late. We started it late. We really.
I didn't. I wasn't. It's not that I wasn't interested. I had from the get-go, I was like, I am falling asleep during this movie.
Yeah, you made the commitment.
I decided I was going to fall asleep.
You did, yeah.
But then you fell asleep too. So then I saw when you rewatched the parts you didn't, that you missed, then I saw the ending, even though I haven't seen. So I've seen the first 15 minutes and like the last 45, but I haven't seen the middle.
So you pretty much know.
What I was thinking about is I was falling asleep last night about how you have to appreciate the things that are a part of your journey. That's why... When you start to compare, mm-hmm. or you think that someone has had such an easy journey, you're losing sight of what has been a blessing about your journey. And it's like, for me, I look at my life and like, nothing for me has ever been easy or overnight. It's always required work. And it's always been like, if you're climbing a ladder for something, I've literally had to step on every single rung. And there are those people who seems like they skip five, mm-hmm. they skip 10, yeah. they skip some rungs. Mm. And I feel like in my journey, I've had to touch every single one. And yep. sometimes I'm like, can I skip one?
Yeah, please? Yeah.
But then I think about, well, what has that done?
When's the compound effect going to happen it just like, you know, has that exponential.
Yeah. And we've certainly experienced some of that in our life, but yeah. I'm just saying in general, it's not ever really been like something that is overnight.
No,
you've
truly had to work for everything,
yeah.
which it's the exact same in my life too.
Right. And that's, like, but I'm saying that's, I think like, I appreciate that
yeah.
because of what that has done for me and my character and my appreciation level for the life we have now mm-hmm. and the progress that we have made. Like, have we gotten as far as we want to go? No, we never will.
Yeah.
But it's like when you lose sight of, okay, but how has my own journey stretched and grown me for the things that I'm purposed for, which are different than what that person is purposed for. Mm. And that's what is so important to remember, because maybe that person doesn't need to be strengthened in the way that you need to, because you're called for something higher. Or you're called for something that's going to be a little bit more difficult than what they're called for. Not that one is better than the other. We just all have different things, different ways we're meant to impact people. So that's what I always try to stay focused on.
Yeah.
And get into that mindset of like, oh, this is taking forever.
I know.
Why is it so much faster for other people?
I know. That's where like that gratitude check-in like really is important, and it's hard to do at times but that's the comparison game
right.
that you end up doing when you're in a season of slow and a season of kind of like a desert season
yeah.
where you seem like you're doing a lot of work and not a lot of outcome. It's easy to compare your story to somebody else's story,
yep.
but you're not living their life and they're not living yours.
Nope.
And you don't know. This is something that I've been thinking too, is like it's like for now. It's just,
yeah.
it's like finishing your sentence with for now, man, this person is really like blowing up and is really having so much success for now. Mm-hmm. Right. Because it's the same thing for you. It's like,
right.
man, I'm doing a lot of work. I'm not really seeing, you know, the outcomes that I'm hoping for. I'm not really having the exponential growth that I'm seeing my colleagues or my peers have in this area mm-hmm. for now.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean forever.
Yeah.
You just don't know when that hit's going to happen.
Yeah.
Just keep going. Keep, you know, maybe you need to improve on certain things, like, you know, analyze what needs improvement, analyze from the actions of others. This is something that our counselors shared with, like, how can you glean inspiration from somebody without getting into that headspace of comparison and, mm-hmm. and envy? Mm-hmm. It's strictly learn from people's, from their actions. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, this person is really creating a lot of success in this area. What are the actions that this person is doing mm-hmm. that is creating this success? Mm-hmm. You know, so if it's like, okay, for example, you say Mr. Beast. Okay, wow, this person is at 200 plus million subscribers. He's growing exponentially. He doesn't have really any video that does under 100 million at this point. It's pretty easy to see from the actions of, oh, he's investing millions of dollars in right. each YouTube video.
Right.
He's spending his entire life. He has a huge team behind him.
Yeah.
Right. And so you cannot possibly compare your growth to his growth because right. he's in a different echelon.
Yeah.
But he didn't start there. He started for the first 6 years. I think he grew to 100,000 subscribers in 6 years. It took him 6 years to get to 100,000 subscribers, where he probably makes 100,000 subscribers in a week or less, you know, now.
Yeah.
But he just kept going. And you just like try, fail, adjust. Try, fail, adjust. Mm-hmm. Try, fail, adjust. Try, fail, adjust. Mm-hmm. And eventually you're going to get better at something. Mm-hmm. You just naturally are.
That's also why I think, like, if with whatever you're pursuing, you can find guidance in regards to someone who is also pursuing that same thing, who's further along, who's willing to share what has worked for them. I think that is also so valuable because that's how that allows you to really skip steps and jump ahead and like, just make more exponential progress because you get to skip over their potholes. Mm-hmm. If you can find that. I know this is like, we live in like such a world of like, buy this course, whatever, learn it on YouTube. But there's just something that is so much more valuable about being able to sit down across the table from someone and like ask them personalized questions that are really geared towards you and the progress that you want
to
make.
I'm still waiting to book a sitcom.
You'd be great on a sitcom,
baby. Man, that is a dream. So if anybody is watching this that knows somebody, or if you are a producer yourself, I'd kill to be on a sitcom.
It'd be really funny on a sitcom.
At least an audition. You know, just give me a shot. Give me a shot. That's just like, that's been something that I've thought of since I was a kid. That's been a dream of being, yeah. I saw like Friends, The Office, Arrested Development, like different just comedies that I'm like, man, that would be so fun. Yeah. That would be so fun to do that.
Yeah.
And that's just like, it feels like such in my wheelhouse. And mm-hmm. It's always been a dream of mine. And so still chasing it.
Yeah. Well, it's also one of those things that like, because of things that you've put on the back burner, it's like pursuing something like that has not been something you've even been trying to do.
Yeah. That's fair.
You know? So it's like you haven't been putting any bandwidth into making that a reality
right.
in your life because of just the seasons that we've been in.
Right.
So in like when you quit your job, then you can put more energy into that.
How crazy that I'm quitting my job.
I know.
April 1st, we'll both be jobless.
Yep.
Officially going full time.
Yep.
How are you? What are your thoughts on that?
It's of course, like there's always a little bit of like nervousness with things like that, because it is a bit of a faith jump when you have a sense of what you're purposed for and the things that you're meant to invest your time into. When you are obedient to that, I believe that God will open doors because of that obedience. So I know that we'll be like, everything will be great because the bandwidth, both of our bandwidths will be going into the things that we care about most.
Yeah.
Things and the people that we care about most.
Yeah.
And so I know that God is going to provide and take care of it, and it's all going to be great because we do everything we can control. We put in the work. That is, we're not sitting around being like, okay, God, drop some money in our bank account, you know, like it's not, yeah. it's not like that. Yeah. It's, we do everything in our power and I know that he'll multiply it.
Yep.
It's exciting.
It's scary, but it's also exciting. Cause you know, in the beginning it feels like a step backwards because you're taking out a whole salary income mm-hmm. on top of adding paying for health insurance out of pocket, mm-hmm. which, you know, that's a pretty big swing in the mm-hmm. beginning.
Sure.
But I don't know. I feel like this is a faith jump that is pretty up there in my lifetime when it comes to really just like putting your trust in that God is going to provide and he's going to open doors and he'll take care of us.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really going to stretch that muscle. But I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah.
What doors open up.
It's exciting to be in a position where you just are like, well, I'm just going to bet on myself.
Right.
And I'm going to have the faith in what I'm willing to do and then how God is willing to multiply it.
Yeah. If not now, when?
Right.
And you think about most people that have created a lot of success, they had a moment. Or they just had to bet on themselves.
Yep.
And a lot of people are in way worse positions, you know, like homeless or like I've just heard of a lot of different actors, success stories of how they were either homeless or they had their electric bill shut off because they couldn't pay it. You know, they were just at their wit's end when they were chasing after, you know, what they wanted and what their dream was. And then they got their big break. But before then, they were... short-circuited.
Yeah. Like, you're really staring into my soul right now.
Anyways, why don't we go to some questions, huh?
Okay. How do I navigate doubts or questions about my faith? And what strategies do I use to strengthen my beliefs?
I think that's just a natural progression of faith and belief is to have doubt.
Yeah.
Like you're going to have moments of doubt. I mean, yeah. even in this decision of me quitting my job and us both going full time, there's been bouts of doubt in that just because it's scary. And so... I think it's natural to even like question your faith. Like if you're a Christian or if you're, you know, regardless of what your faith is, if you have moments of doubt, I think those are moments that can actually help you get more deep rooted in your faith
yeah.
because you're going to explore it a little bit more and a little bit deeper.
I think that there's also some like, it's called faith for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
Like faith always involves an element of believing in what you haven't yet seen. And I think that that's like, there's just going to be, you're never going to have every single question answered on this side of eternity. I don't believe. And I think that that's okay. And I think sometimes people use that as an excuse to not dive into faith or to say that they don't believe in God or they don't have a faith because every single question cannot be answered. Who are we to think that we could have an answer to every single question we could come up with, you know?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't make sense to me. So, I think being comfortable in the idea that it's like, yeah, I'm going to have doubts and I'm going to have questions there. I know for a fact, there are things I will never know on this side of eternity. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to have to be like, yo, God, like this never made sense to me. Yeah. Can you please clarify? Cause I don't get it. or like this.
Why does all food that tastes so good, so bad for you?
The most pressing question of all.
It's a big one for me.
So I think there will always be things like that, but that doesn't mean you're not faithful.
Yeah.
Just because having doubts does not equate to not being a faithful person. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think like those two things can exist together and that's okay. And
yeah.
I agree. When you do have the opportunity to explore some of those things, it can even deepen your faith.
Right.
How has your faith evolved or changed over time and what factors have influenced this evolution?
I think, well, I grew up Christian, grew up going to church. And as a kid, it was like, well, we just always did that. And so I feel like my faith was not really deep rooted at all, until going to college, and then college was the first time I was on my own. And so I did more prayer, did more discovering and, mm-hmm. and intro, was it introspection? Yeah. Oh yeah. I was about to say that.
Yeah. Very good.
I was worried that wasn't going to be a word.
That's right.
And then after college, moving to New York, it was up and down. I feel like there are moments where I got, my faith was really strong and I felt a really deep connection. And then I would get really distracted and busy yeah. with life. And yeah. New York is a busy city and it's very easy to keep yourself busy here.
You don't even need to be in New York for that. You can do that everywhere.
That's true.
You can do it with this little thing right here.
Yeah, that's true. And so I've had to get more intentional
yeah.
as of late, especially to carve out time mm-hmm. to get in the Word, carve out time to pray. And so I feel like now I have a stronger faith than I've had in my life, but yeah. It's been a journey with that. It's been kind of like up and down.
My faith has evolved and changed as I've needed to lean into it. Mm. So when it comes to like just things I've gone through in my life, those have been major turning points for me with my faith, because it's been like my only option, my only peace, my only solace came from faith, leaning into my faith and being like, okay, I need to understand fully that, like, even though my life feels very difficult right now, or I'm going through something that's super painful, like God is near me and God has great things for me. And this is not like God's plan for me wasn't to hurt me through this situation. This is just something that happened because we live in a broken world.
What were some of those things?
I mean, like my brother passing away.
Yeah.
I think that that's like, it's so easy I think when you lose someone and you like, we're praying so hard to not lose that person.
Yeah.
For people to be like, well, if we have such a good God, why didn't he answer my prayer
right.
and keep that person here for me? But that's just not the way it works.
Yeah.
It's just not the way it works, because we live in a broken world. And the fact that, you know what, when I look back on my prayers in that time, I almost like prayed with the intentionality of not wanting to be disappointed. Like, and my faith then wasn't as strong as it is now, because obviously going through that strengthened my faith, and then having my husband come out as gay and me feeling like my whole life was being upended and
yeah,
like all of that just
quite the year for you.
Yeah. All of that just really like, I had to lean into my faith for that. So all of that really strengthened who I know God to be. But when I was starting going through that, I would pray like for God's will to be done in the situation, because I was afraid to be like, please save my brother, because I didn't want to be disappointed with that prayer not being answered.
Yeah.
And so I actually don't think I ever even prayed for that, because I was too scared to be let down. And like that, like I look back on that situation, and not that it would have changed anything, but I wish I had the strength to pray for what I really wanted. Mm. And I think about that all the time with my prayer life now, in regards to like, no, I'm asking for everything that I want, because he can do anything.
Yeah.
Why, if I believe that he can do anything, that a mustard seed of faith is all that you need, why am I not going to ask for what I truly want?
Right.
So like going through those things really strengthened my prayer life, and just my desire to want to really experience who God is and how much he loves us and really all he has for us as a loving father. So it's like, it sucks that I have to say like, oh, I went through these hard things and now I have a great relationship with God.
Yeah.
But that's just part of it. And I think that's also, you know, going back to what we were talking about at the very beginning, like we want these things that other people have in their life. We want these deep-rooted relationships. We want this success, but are we willing to
go through what they went through?
Go through what they went through to have that, to get that, or to learn the wisdom that allowed them to have that.
Right.
So that really went off on a tangent. I was not expecting to get emotional in this one.
No, but it was good. It was good. I didn't even know that part of you. I had no idea.
Yeah. I honestly haven't thought about that in a while.
Yeah. Have you talked about that before?
I don't know if I have.
Have you even talked about that like with your counselor?
I don't know.
That's good. I mean, that's some good stuff right there. Like, would that have you praying for what you actually wanted, would that have changed anything? Personally, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't God's plan. But it doesn't mean that God's a bad God. I heard this analogy where it's like if a bear had his foot caught in a trap and you went over to save the bear from the trap, get him out of the trap, do you think you approaching the bear think that the hunter or the person that's coming over is actually trying to help them or hurt them? Probably hurt them.
Right.
Because he's confused, he's hurt, and yeah. He's just angry.
Yeah.
And then when you get there, finally, well, so you have to shoot the bear with a tranquilizer and to, you know, put him to sleep. So at that point, do you think he's actually trying to help you? No, probably not. And then in order to release the trap, you have to actually push down on it to push it in a little bit more, then to release it. And so at that point, does the bear have any knowledge that this person is actually trying to help them?
Right.
When he's pushing it even deeper into his leg?
Right.
No. And then he releases it. Mm-hmm. If a bear can't understand what a human... like what a human's
intentions are. Sure.
How could we possibly know?
Yeah.
God's.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
To think about. And to think about your brother passing. I mean, I've seen kind of, it's bad to say, but I've seen what that did for your family and for your parents in a good way. Mm-hmm. I feel like your parents have become so close kind of because of it. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really beautiful thing to see. And not that I wish that would happen, you know, for that to happen, but there is something that came out of that. And we don't know the answers to all this.
Yeah.
I wish I could have met him. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to keep talking about
No, it's fine. It's, because I don't think that God plans bad things for us. I don't think that God's plan ever includes pain or hurt or for us to go through the things that we go through because, we live in a broken world. But when unfortunate circumstances happen, it reminds me of that scene in The Chosen where, I can't remember the certain disciple's name, like Little James maybe, where he has the thing with his foot. With his foot. Yeah. And he's like watching Jesus heal all these people. And he's like, why not me?
Yeah.
And Jesus kind of tells him like, this is part of your testimony and it's going to be really powerful. And that scene gets me every time. I don't think that God ever has bad things planned for us.
Yeah.
You know, like he never has pain and grief and these things as part of the plan. Like, but those things happen because we live in a broken world, but it can be very difficult to be like, you're a miracle working God. So why didn't you work a miracle in this situation?
Right.
But you worked a miracle in this other person's situation, but not here. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be, that goes back to the previous question of like the doubt and having those questions and things that we may never know on this side. But even through all of that pain, I have seen the goodness of God through how he has worked out those situations for our good. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says, is that he works everything out for our good. Not that everything that happens to us is going to be good, because it's not.
Right.
But he can work it out for our good. We have to be willing to partner with him in that, I believe, and lean into how can there be good that comes out of this situation? Which can obviously be very hard when we're going through pain and especially things that are like just when our hearts have been broken.
Yeah.
But that's just what being a human is. Mm-hmm. And it's what's special and important and just like so beautiful about being a human.
Yeah. There would be no happiness without sadness. There'd be no beauty without ugly. There'd be no, there's always, you know, that's just like, that is the ebbs and flows of life though.
Yeah.
There are moments that are going to be so joyous and amazing, and those make memories. And there will be moments that will not be as great.
Yeah.
That will make different memories.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
I think that's really powerful. Like, don't be scared to just ask God for what you want to happen.
Yeah.
Don't be scared of him saying no. He's ultimately, him saying no doesn't mean that he loves you any less. It's just a different plan.
Yeah.
Like when we ask for God to open doors for us into, like, you know, bigger arenas, bigger opportunities, you know, to people that can help further our purpose and grow us. We also ask for him to close doors that we are not meant to go down. And you just have to trust that when doors close,
when that happens, yeah,
that was meant to happen.
Yeah.
That you were not meant to go down that path, no matter how hard it is. Like, yeah, maybe it's a career path that, like, you didn't get the job, or it was between you and one other person for this, you know, this TV show or movie or show or career, and it wasn't you. It's really hard to swallow.
Yeah.
And to say, like, and be grateful for this door being closed. But ultimately, I just believe that closed for a reason.
Yeah. At least when you ask for the closed doors, when they come, you're like, okay, that just must not be the right thing for me. It almost is like, makes it easier because you're like, well,
exactly,
I asked for this. So there must be something on the other side of that door that just wasn't going to be the best for me. And so I actually feel better about it when I pray for the closed doors than if I don't, because the closed doors are going to come either way. So I'm like, if I ask for it, I feel better about them.
Yeah. It's like whether it's true or not, we get to the end and we, like, it was like, no, that you just weren't good enough. Like, or no, the other person just was better.
Right.
Why not live that way though?
Right.
Why not like choose to just like live, and you're just going to have a lot more peace over your life.
Of course.
Than to every closed door to believe that it was a hit on your self-image,
exactly,
or a hit on you.
Exactly.
And it's a you thing.
Right.
As opposed to just like, okay, this isn't meant to be. There's like, God has bigger plans for me.
Yeah.
I think that's where faith comes in.
So these two questions are both about forgiveness. They kind of go hand in hand. So I'm just going to kind of do them as one, I think.
Okay.
How does forgiveness contribute to my personal growth and resilience? And how can I view forgiveness as a strength rather than a weakness? And the second one is, what beliefs or misconceptions do people have about forgiveness, and how could exploring these help me move towards a more forgiving mindset?
Do you want to take this one?
Sure. I mean, you can add too, but...
Well, I'll add too, but you just have a very powerful forgiveness journey. For those of you who don't know, Sarah was previously married before me. Her husband at the time, actually when we met on tour, he came out as gay, and so they are no longer together. Obviously. And so she went on this forgiveness journey that's, I think, really powerful. So you can talk about it.
Well, I think that the beliefs or misconceptions that people have about forgiveness are that if you forgive someone who doesn't apologize, then that does make you weak. Like, you're letting them off the hook for hurting you. Now, in my experience, obviously what I went through with...
But don't you sometimes have to forgive people that may never say,
of course,
sorry?
100%. That I'm just prefacing with it. Like, with my journey, that wasn't the case. Like, I very much had someone who was, they were still hurting me, but they were certainly sorry about it.
Yeah.
But yes, but that's my point, is that just because you're forgiving someone doesn't mean that you're saying that what they did wasn't hurtful. Mm-hmm. The forgiveness is for you, honestly. It's not for them. The forgiveness is for your own peace and for your own heart. Because if you walk around with unforgiveness, like, it's just like, it will rot you from the inside out. I feel so passionately about that. And it breaks my heart when I see people walking around with insecurities and hurt in their heart because they haven't let something go. They haven't forgiven someone for something that the person hasn't apologized for.
Right.
And it's like the person's never going to apologize, or the person's not even here anymore. Sometimes the person's not even alive anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
So that's like
the crazy part.
You really have to, the forgiveness is for you. It's not for them, which is why I do think that it is more of a strength.
You're just giving somebody else all the power over your life.
Exactly.
Your misery
exactly
has nothing to do, like they has not changed their life.
Nope.
Like they are living their life as normal. Yep. And you're just going to stew in your bitterness.
Yep.
And you're literally creating poison in your body.
Right.
Unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies.
Right. Exactly. It's only harmful to us, which is why how it contributes to our personal growth and resilience is like, I don't think we can ever make the progress that we want if we have unforgiveness in our heart. Because if we have, when we hold on to that kind of bitterness, it damages what we believe our value to be. It damages our self-image. It damages what we believe we're capable of because of the hurt that we've experienced, what we believe we're worthy of. So all those things have to be released and to let go of those things in order to make the progress that you want. And I'm just like, maybe you can make external progress, but from the inside, I mean, like living truly in freedom is when you don't have any bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart.
Right.
And I think that's an incredible strength versus a weakness, which is what the question was asking.
Share how you ask God to forgive, like every day.
I mean, that's literally what I did. I just prayed for God to help me, forgive. And did a lot of like, you know, Googling about scriptures for forgiveness so that I could read the right ones. And I just prayed for him to help me because I knew I wasn't going to be able to, as a human, I'm only human. When someone hurts you,
I'm only human.
Exactly. And so when someone hurts you, it's natural for it to be difficult for you to let that go because it's painful. Mm. And sometimes you find yourself wishing ill upon that person or hoping that things go poorly for them. And I got to that place and I was just like, this is gross. I do not like this. And that's like, I just felt gross from the inside when I was like wishing ill will upon someone who I still like had love in my heart for.
Yeah. Right.
I know I wanted that to be gone, but I was pretty sure I couldn't do that, but on my own. So
yeah,
that's when I just prayed for God to help me to take that out of my heart. And eventually he did. Eventually, you know, like
it took a whole year though. Yeah, I prayed. You praying every single day.
Yeah, I prayed every day.
Happen overnight.
For a year, and there was just one day where I was praying just like any other time, and I was getting really emotional. Because I was just like, it had felt like it had been so long, and I was tired of feeling that bitterness, and so I was praying and I was crying, and it was like God put down a little dustbuster and sucked it right out of my heart. His heavenly bitterness dustbuster.
This video is sponsored by that had been a great sponsor segue.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but, though. Here,
or not. But yeah, it really felt like he removed it. In an instant, it was removed. But it was after a year of really asking him for help and trying to lean into scripture. And really, I really desired to forgive.
Yeah, right.
And I think I've talked about this before, is I think some people, they like holding on to it because it makes them feel a little bit self-righteous, or like they still have a little bit of that victim, like a reason why, this always happens because of this, or my life is going this way because this person did this to me. Mm. And so when you let that go, you don't have that excuse anymore. Mm-hmm. I think it can be scary for some people that have held on so tightly to those things as an excuse.
Well, when you release that, then it like releases the excuse to stay in it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And your brain, it's become what's familiar
right.
for yourself.
Right.
So you're familiar with those emotions, and it may seem odd to change that thought pattern or those mm-hmm. emotions mm-hmm. when you've been sitting in that for so many years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting out of that victim mentality, it's hard, but it's freeing when you do, because yeah. self-pity is just, it will it will just stagnate you in your life.
Yeah. And if you don't,
and it will stagnate your relationships.
Right.
Because nobody wants to be around somebody who plays victim all the time and who's just wallows in self-pity.
Nope. Or who is always like focusing on the negative.
Yeah. It's really
what's going on. It is so exhausting.
It is
truly so exhausting.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Oh, part of the question of like, it was either faith or forgiveness or like what made it ebb and flow. Oh, I think that was one of the older questions. It's like getting around people that had a stronger faith and getting around people that kind of shared their forgiveness journey, maybe on that was really powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, hearing somebody forgive their parents who stole millions of dollars from them and put them in the hole can be really inspiring to be like, oh gosh, if he could do that, okay, then maybe I should work on forgiving for this little
thing. Let go of my sibling who said something the wrong way.
Yeah.
And my wife, I took it the wrong way.
You know, took my favorite sweatshirt.
This is not your favorite sweatshirt.
No, it's not. I'm not talking about that one.
Oh.
All right. Why don't we change it up and do a couple of fun, quick ones.
Let's dry the tears.
Yeah. All right.
How is Micah so flexible? Question I've had for years now.
Honestly, many people have asked that question. And for those of you who aren't watching on YouTube, I'm putting my leg to my ear. I don't know why, but my hamstrings have always been oddly flexible.
Yeah.
But not everything. My hips are not flexible. Like my inner thighs are not flexible. I can't do the splits like this way, but I was able to do them front and back. I just can't do that now. I also stretch and, you know, work on it, but there is some natural flexibility.
It's definitely
odd.
It's definitely weird. I remember the first time it's like in rehearsal for Beating the Beast, like when we were doing like the kick line for Be Our Guest, and I was like,
they were up
that,
there.
Like,
that was it.
That guy is so beefy, but his leg flies up to his face. This is the most confusing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I was the biggest I have ever been in my life on that tour too. All I was doing was eating creatine protein and working out. And that was basically it. Cause I was, you know, I was understudy for guest on it. And so I wanted to look big and beefy. And so,
and you did,
and I did, but I could also give you a leg.
Like your flexibility was not hampered by the strength that you built. It was truly the most confusing thing. I was like, what the? This does not compute. The juxtaposition.
Those were some high kicks. Those were some high kicks.
You can still kick your face.
I can. Kind of.
What are our favorite things about each other? What's your favorite thing about me?
You're fat dumpy.
Ew. Micah. Stop it.
Oh, are we supposed to lie?
Is that the truth? You're like sad. Everything about me? Like you didn't say anything about my heart or my emotional intelligence.
Oh, your heart for sure. And your emotional intelligence is a quick second.
I need specifics. I'm words of affirmation. Come on.
I know. Is your ability to be able to have a really deep conversation because you are, no, this is true. You are very good with your words, which is why your blog is amazing. You're a great writer. You're very well said. And so we can talk very deep, but then you can also have a goofy side that I love. I love laughing with you and joking with you. Yeah. So that's my favorite part.
I'm literally going to cry again.
This is why I said you're big, fat, dumpy.
I'm crying in the fun section.
When it starts, it's hard to stop. Okay, so what's...
That was sweet, babe. Thanks.
What's yours? What's me? Me turn.
I'm literally going to cry when I give this answer. Apologies, audience. Apparently, I'm having an emotional evening. Your ability to speak life into people. Like, you really have a way about you where... When you speak life into other people, it is not, you're not blowing smoke. You don't say things that are untrue or that you don't actually believe to be within that person that you're talking to. And I have seen people light up from the ways that you've spoken life into them. And people who maybe haven't had a lot of great male influence in their life, or like just maybe one who hasn't spoken a lot of life into them. And I've just seen you, your words be able to like rebuild people's belief that there are men out there who really love and care and are empathetic. And, I don't know. I just think you have such a gift when it comes to being able to really build people up with truthful sentiments that like come from the heart. And I think that's a really powerful thing.
So it wasn't my fat dumpy.
That's second.
Okay. Okay. Because if you would have said that, I would have started crying.
That was the one that would have made you cry.
Yeah, that was.
Because you've been working very hard to grow it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I know, it looks great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's little but mighty. Okay, so those were the fun ones. is there any other fun ones?
I don't know.
Is that it? That's it?
Yeah.
All right.
You have any fun questions?
I hope you had super fun with that. this took a turn. I mean, I didn't expect, I think it was really good though. Yeah. I came into this kind of not knowing like how this was going to go and just like trusted that God was going to lead it. And he definitely did. He
always does.
Thank you for everything you shared. It was really powerful.
Yeah.
I think you need some ice cream or something after this.
I need dinner.
Oh, right. Oh, that's probably why you're emotional.
Yeah.
We definitely
It's 9:50 p.m. and we haven't eaten dinner.
Oh, yeah. Before we end our podcast, can you please subscribe and share this with somebody? You know, comment, like, subscribe, do all the things. It just really helps our channel out. It pushes it out. It helps the algorithm. And, you know, we started this for a reason to impact people and hopefully tell our stories, our ups and downs, that people can feel less alone. And so it would mean the world to us if you did that.
Yes.
And as we always do, we like to end our podcast by saying goodbye. I think we started on the first note.
Yeah, we started.
I think we started on the same note.
We picked the same note, yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was more of a boring one.
So sorry.
Sorry, guys.
That's what they come for.
All right. Toodaloo.